All right, let's go ahead and get started. Are you glad to be here this morning?
Yes.
Yeah? Well, three of you are. That's good. All right. Well, hopefully when you came in this morning, you received the bulletin. If you're a guest with us this morning, thank you so much for choosing to be with us. And we are so grateful for your presence with us this morning. And hopefully you picked up a worship packet or an introductory packet, a visitor's packet. I'll get it right. And inside that packet is a little card. If you'll just take a moment, fill that out, drop it in the offering plate when it comes by, or just leave it on the information table out in the foyer. That would be such a help to us. Hopefully you received the bulletin and everyone else did. So if you have a bulletin, open it up. If you don't have a bulletin, you'll need to make sure that you grab one on the way out. So right after our morning worship service this morning, we're going to celebrate communion during worship service, and then we're also going to be taking an offering for the Benevolent Fund. This is over and above your regular giving. And if you have any questions about that, see me, and I'll try to answer those questions for you. Then at 11:30, we have Sunday School, and this is just another opportunity for us to maybe get a little bit more intensive Bible study. And so I want to encourage you to stay. We have Sunday School for kids all the way up through adults, so hopefully you'll join us for that. Wednesday, we have Joy Bible Study here at the church at 1 p.m. Thursday, we have Awana, and the kids know what that is. And then Saturday, we have Men's Breakfast, 8 a.m. right here at the church. And this is open to all of the men of our church. And at the end of the breakfast, we're going to have a cornhole tournament.
Ooh.
And we need to make sure that we dethrone the reigning champs. So this week, maybe if you're going to come and join us for breakfast and then stay for the cornhole tournament, you can be practicing so that we can make sure that the trophy doesn't go home with the people that it's been going home with for the last who knows how long. So we want to make a change in that if possible. But it's a great time. It's a good time for us to be able to have. Now, let me just say this. If you don't want to do cornhole, you can still come to men's breakfast, okay? All right? Just want you to understand that as well. So that's going to be really, really great. Well, there's a whole lot of announcements in the bulletin. Not going to take the time to go over all of those. You can read. And so that's why it's important for you to be able to have one. I do want to say something, though. Yesterday, we got Jesse and Natasha married off. And so what a blessing that was. Mm-hmm. And Jared was the officiant for the ceremony, and he did an excellent job. And so when you see Jared and he's not playing the guitar up here in the front, just tell him, way to go, okay? Because he really did a good job. It was a beautiful ceremony. It was a beautiful wedding. It was Jesse was dressed up really nice. I mean, it was amazing. I didn't hardly recognize him. Natasha was gorgeous. And so it was just a great, great thing to be able to see. And it's been neat to be able to see how God has brought them together and has kept them together for so many years, and then bring them to this day yesterday, to where they shared their vows, they shared their love with one another. What a wonderful thing that really was. And so make sure that you tell Jared, great job, okay? All right. Let's give him a round of applause.
No, okay? It's not even my day. Thank you.
You know, we're so blessed to have Jared as our worship leader and as an elder. We are so blessed to have our worship team. Don't you think so?
Yes.
All right. And one of the ways that we can say thank you to them is for us to, with our whole heart, participate completely in worship this morning.
Amen.
Let's get ready to do that.
Yeah, would you all stand with me? God is good. God is so, so good. We're going to sing all about how awesome he is this morning. So would you join me this morning?
Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. The everlasting God, the everlasting God, you do not faint, you won't grow weary, your the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles.
Strength will rise.
Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. Comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles.
Give the Lord a round of applause. He's worthy of all of our praise today. Come, let us worship our King.
Come, let us worship our King. Come, let us bow at his feet. He has done great things. See what our Savior has done. See how his love overcomes. He has done great things. Yes, he has done great things. O hero of heaven, you conquered the grave. You free every captive and break every chain. Oh God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. Oh God, you have done great things. You've been faithful through every storm. You'll be faithful forevermore. You have done great things. And I know you will do it again. For your promise is yes and amen. You will do great things. Oh God, you do great things. Oh, hero of heaven, you conquered the grave. You free every captive and break every chain. Oh, God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh, Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. Oh, God, you have done great things. Hallelujah, God, above it all. Hallelujah, God, unshakable. Hallelujah, you have done great things. You've done great things.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, God, above it all. Hallelujah, God, unshakable. Hallelujah, you have done great things. You've done great things. Oh, hero of heaven, you conquered the grave. You free every captive and break every chain. Oh, God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh, Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. Oh, God, you have done great things. You have done great things. Oh God, you do great things.
Give the Lord one more round of applause. Thank you, God, for doing great things. Lord, we praise you this morning. We dance in the freedom that you've given to us. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for who you are, for what you've done. God, it's our heart's desire to meet with you today, to commune with you today, to set all the things of the world aside, and to be with you, our Creator. Lord, thank you for this time that we get to spend with you and in fellowship with each other. Lord, I want to bless you in Jesus' name today. Amen. Please be seated as we continue. God is so good. And yes, we had a wonderful celebration yesterday. We are here today to celebrate too. So make no mistake, God is worthy of all the praise that you have to give. He's a good God, and he has good plans for you and for me.
The Lord is my shepherd, and he is everything I need, so I will not worry. I will not fear the enemy. He said that he loves me. He said that he's with me even though I walk through the valley of shadow and death, and still I know he has good plans. He has good plans for me. So I will take heart in deserts and gardens. He has good plans. He has good plans for me. If I know my Father, I know my Father has good plans. The Lord is my Savior, so why should I doubt my victory? Why would I question the rod and the staff that comforts me? He quiets the waters. He quiets the storm inside of me. So what could be better than walking with him when I believe? He has good plans. He has good plans for me. So I will take heart in deserts and gardens. He has good plans. He has good plans for me. If I know my Father, I know my Father as he has good plans. He has good plans for me. So I will take heart in deserts and gardens. He has good plans. He has good plans for me. If I know my Father, I know my Father has good plans. Surely your goodness and mercy will follow after me. So fear will not find me, 'cause I'll be dwelling in the house of God. Surely your goodness and mercy will follow after me. So fear will not find me, 'cause I'll be dwelling in the house of God. Surely your goodness and mercy will follow after me. So fear will not find me, 'cause I'll be dwelling in the house of God. He has good plans. He has good plans for me. So I will take heart in deserts and gardens. He has good plans. He has good plans for me. If I know my Father, I know my Father. If I know my Father, I know my Father has good plans. Here I am, humbled by your majesty. Covered by your grace, so free.
Thank you, Jesus.
Here I am, knowing I'm a sinful man, covered by the blood of the Lamb. And now love of all is mine, since you laid down your life, the greatest sacrifice. Majesty, majesty, your grace has found me just as I am. Forgiven so that I can forgive. Here I stand, knowing that I'm your desire, sanctified by glory and fire. Greatest love of all is mine, since you laid down your life, the greatest sacrifice. Oh, majesty, majesty, your grace has found me just as empty-handed, but alive in your hand. Oh, majesty, majesty, forever I am changed by your love, in the presence of your majesty.
Thank you, Jesus, for changing us. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us eternal life. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us unconditionally. We don't deserve you. You are so, so good. God, I pray that as we respond to you, not just now in this moment, but as we dig into the scripture, as we commune with you, as we go out into the world that you've placed us in, Lord, give us the opportunities to share this hope. Lord, help us to spread the good news for you. Lord, we love you today. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. God is good. God is so good. We're going to take this morning's offering, and we're going to sing about how great his faithfulness is. You all know this one by heart, but as our ushers take this morning's offering, would you all sing with me?
Great is thy faithfulness, O God. changes not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, now forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by
God's faithfulness already today. We are just so blessed. God is so good. Some of these songs that we just sang fit so well with the message today. It's just, sometimes it just blows me away. I just sit here and I just go, God, you are just so good. Because I couldn't have picked better songs. I couldn't have reinforced it if I tried to jam it all together myself to be able to force it. So it's good. Hey, young ones, come on down. We'll get you ready for Children's Church. Father, we are just so grateful that we could be reminded of your love. We could be reminded of your grace. We could be reminded of your presence in our lives. We could be reminded of your power. And Father, we could be reminded of your faithfulness. Father, thank you for being faithful to us. And Father, you demonstrate that faithfulness in so many ways. And oftentimes we are so blinded by the things of this earth that we can't figure out where those good things that you provide for us come from. Father, forgive us of that. But Father, I pray in this moment, I pray in these next few moments as we dive into your word, Father, that your faithfulness will come shining through. Father, whatever it is that you want us to know, whatever it is that you want us to put into our minds and put into our hearts and put into our lives, Father, that you will make sure that we're in that place. We've put aside all of the distractions to be able to truly hear from you. So, Father, that's our prayer this morning, and we know you're going to answer it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, go have a great time. While they're being dismissed, turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to be looking at a few verses here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Our identity as people is a powerful thing. Our identity can be a powerful force in our lives, and yet it can be one of the most misunderstood parts of our lives. Because as human beings, we have a tendency to put our identity in really the wrong places, especially those of us who believe in Jesus as Savior. I remember when I first went as the assistant pastor to a church that I pastored in Central Washington. Wasn't there very long, and one of the longtime members of that church had come by my office and came into my office, and he said, "Pastor Sam, let's go for a walk." And so we went for a walk. And I thought maybe we were going to go outside and take a walk like around the block, and we were going to walk down the street, or we were going to walk down to the restaurant that was right across the street from the church and maybe have coffee, even though I don't drink coffee. But anyway, I had no idea where we were going to go. And so he starts taking me on a tour of the building. And the additions that were part of our church complex. Not that it was huge, but we had some outer buildings. But he's taking me through the sanctuary building. And there was a basement and classrooms and a kitchen and a sanctuary. And so we were standing in the sanctuary, and he was telling me about every board that he had hammered in to that sanctuary. He was telling me about every nail that he had hammered in to those boards in that sanctuary. He was telling me about the time that he was hammering a board into the flooring of the sanctuary, and he hit his finger and it started to bleed, and he said the blood is still on that board. And it's like, okay, right? He tells me about the paneling that was up in the front of the sanctuary, and how he had picked out the paneling, and how he had nailed it all to the backboard of the structure. He was telling me all that he had done in this church sanctuary. And I'm thinking, well, this is kind of nice, but it's also kind of sad. Because his identity, even as a believer, wasn't in Jesus. His identity was in everything that he had done in that church. Everything that he had done to be able to help, that's where his identity was. And I thought, that's just sad. Because our identity, especially those of us who believe in Jesus as Savior, is something different. But we have a tendency as human beings to live out our identity in some combination of who we've been, who we are expected to be, who we want to be, what it is that we have done, and who we think we should be. Our identity is what brings connection. I think that's what he was hoping for, was that as he was taking me on this tour of everything that he had done to be able to help this building become what it was, that he was hoping that he and I would establish that connection. Our identity is what brings connection to our lives as we relate to others. Our identity and our personality and our life experiences do help us to connect with others. But that's not the only thing. That's not the only reason. That's not the only point of connection that we need to be able to have as a focus in our life. And we see that in the life of Jesus. Before Jesus went to the cross, he used the celebration of communion to connect with his disciples. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul writes about this event. So hopefully you found 1 Corinthians chapter 11 in your Bibles. Follow along as I read verses 23 through 26. "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Now, I think that most of you in the sanctuary this morning, you understand that this celebration of communion is known by several names. It's known as the Lord's table. And I think maybe it's called that because Jesus was reclining here in this upper room before he went to the cross with his disciples. Because remember, back then, they didn't have tables and chairs like we have. They had tables that were very low to the ground. And when you gathered for a meal, you laid on cushions around that table. You laid head to toe, your head at someone else's feet. And that's how you ate. That's how you participated in a meal. So Jesus was reclining at the table with his disciples. It's also called the Lord's Supper. Have you ever wondered why it's called that? Because it was initiated by the Lord, by Jesus himself. It's also called the Eucharist. And the Eucharist comes from the Greek word Eucharistia, which means thanksgiving. Did you notice that as Jesus and his disciples began the celebration of communion, Jesus did what? He gave thanks. Now, there are a lot of belief systems that take this word Eucharist and make it a whole lot of things other than what it is. All it is thanksgiving. And when we come to the celebration of communion, we are reminded to be thankful of what it is that Jesus has done for us as he went to the cross. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that in just a moment. And it's often referred to as communion, because at the center of this celebration is our union with God. And so the celebration of communion brings about connection. Now, to understand what it means to celebrate communion, we need to recognize that communion connects. And I want to just share with you four ways that I believe that communion connects. Here's the first one. Communion connects the present with the past. Communion connects the present to the past because it immediately connects us to a night before Jesus went to the cross. What kind of a night was it? Well, it was a Passover night. It was a connecting with others to partake of the Passover meal. Now, what is Passover? Well, let me just kind of maybe explain some things to you. And so today, there are Jews who still continue to celebrate and to commemorate Passover in their homes. And at Passover, in a typical Jewish home, one of the children is asked this question: why is this night different than all other nights? Well, there's an answer to that question. The answer is because the Passover celebration is a remembrance of the deliverance by God of the nation of Israel from Egypt. Remember our just past study of the book of Exodus? We talked about this. So remember that Pharaoh in Egypt would not set them free. So God, in order to make things happen so that his people would be freed from this slavery, freed from this bondage, he sent an angel of death to Egypt. Remember? That was the 10th plague. So how could an Israelite survive the angel of death? Well, in every home, God had instructed that the Israelite families had to come together and eat a meal. They must slay a lamb, eat the lamb, and put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost of their homes. So when the angel of death saw the blood on the doorpost, it passed by, and they were spared. And eventually, after that, the Israelites were set free from the bondage of Egypt. They were delivered by God. Centuries later, at this Passover meal, Jesus was the host. And things were going as they should be until Jesus changes the script. He brings a new understanding of the bread and the cup. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and let's look at verses 24 and 25. And when Jesus had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So at this Passover, Jesus was talking about himself, telling his disciples that by his death, he would be taking away the sin of the world. On this night, Jesus was saying, "I'm not just going to deliver you from this or that bondage, this or that physical or social or economic or partial problem. I'm going to be the propitiation for the sin of the world." This is a night different than all other nights. What was Jesus doing? He was connecting the past with the present. Communion also connects us to God. Again, let's go to verses 24 and 25. "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" You know, as you really get into the significance of these statements, at the center of these statements, you will find grace. And it's important to realize that when we partake of the bread and the cup, we're not obtaining grace. Grace is grace because it's not obtainable. We don't earn it. We don't do anything to have it. It is given. That's why it's grace. It's given freely by God, and that's why faith is the God-appointed way for God's redemption. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God." Now, there are Bible teachers, there are preachers, there are Bible scholars who say that in this verse, faith is the gift of God. They miss the whole point. It's not the faith that's the gift of God. It's the grace that it's the gift of God. Now, that's another sermon for another day. It's because God's redemption doesn't involve what we do. It is faith in what Jesus has already done for us. And that's what communion is all about. It's the representation. The bread is the representation of Jesus' body being broken for us on that cross. The cup is the representation of Jesus' blood being shed for us on that cross, so that we could have a picture of God's grace to every single one of us, because our faith is what brings us his salvation. It's not anything we do. It's not anything we are. It's not anything we can become. It's not anything that we have. It's not our identity. It's in what God, through Jesus, has done for us. He died a death as a substitute on our behalf, so that when we believe in him, get this, his righteousness is granted to us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. "For our sake, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Wow. What grace. It is wonderful, marvelous grace. And when we add anything to that, anything that we must do to receive God's grace, when we add anything to that, we devalue God's grace. Communion not only connects the present with the past, and communion not only connects us to God, but communion connects us to community. Notice that when Jesus was eating this Passover meal, he was eating it with who? His disciples. Those reclining at the table next to him. And these were people who were from different occupations. They did not share the same socioeconomic backgrounds, careers, skill sets, or family situations. So we shouldn't miss the community nature of this meal. At the very heart, it is known as a common meal, a shared meal. because everyone was united by the grace of God. Now you can say, wait a minute, Pastor, how can you say that everyone in that upper room sharing communion was united? Well, because the one that wasn't united with the disciples, the one that wasn't united with Jesus, had already left. And the ones that were there were the ones that were united with him. Look at how Paul describes community before he shares these instructions to this church in Corinth. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 17. Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. Boy, that speaks of community. Paul speaks of the importance of unity. Why? Because the church he was writing to, the church at Corinth, was full of divisions. Remember our study in the book of 1 Corinthians a couple years ago? It was full of divisions and disregard for others. The reason for Paul's instruction is that believers partaking of the celebration of communion in a way that separated people into social classes instead of uniting them as one. That's what was going on in this church. I know it's hard to believe. It's a church. They should have been one. They should have been united together in a common purpose, with a common belief, with a common message. But nope. They were fractured. They were divided. They were separated in a lot of different ways. One of those ways was, remember, there were people who in the church who, as other people were saying, wow, we just love Paul's teaching, who was saying, Paul, are you kidding? Have you ever heard Apollos preach? Wow, man, that is something. And people are going, Apollos and Paul, wait, you should hear Peter preach. Man, when Peter preaches, our hearts are stirred. We're moved. We're moved to tears, not because he's bad, but because he was so good. And then people were going, well, okay, you can have Paul. You can have Apollos. You can have Peter. We'll take Jesus. And so there was all of this division. And then when they would come together for the celebration of communion, they had what they called a love meal in conjunction with that, where they would come together and they would eat, kind of like our church family dinner once a month, where people would bring food and they would eat. Well, the people who were in the upper class of the church, they would bring the meal, they would bring part of the food, and they would get there early, and they would begin to eat, and then they would begin the celebration of communion before the other people ever came to church. By the time the other people came to church, there wasn't anything left to be able to eat other than what they brought. They didn't wait. They weren't united. They were what? Divided. They were fractured. That's why Paul writes these instructions to the church at Corinth, saying, whoa, you got it all wrong. You've made it something that the Lord never intended for it to be able to be. You've got to get this straightened out. So for them, communion was a way that separated people into social classes instead of uniting them as one. And Paul goes on to give them further instruction. Look at verse 33. He says, so then, my brothers and sisters, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. Why? There was no waiting going on. There was no, this is the appointed time, everybody show up. No, it wasn't like that. When people showed up, they ate. They took communion. By the time the others came, there was nothing left for them. And so Paul's intent is for believers to honor God by honoring one another. That's why communion connects us to community. And then here's the fourth thing. Communion connects us to our future. Jesus said we should share in this meal for how long? Look at verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he what? Until he comes. And when Jesus comes and takes those of us who believe in him as Savior, either through the avenue of death or the avenue of catching us up in the clouds, there will be a meal that we will enjoy in his presence. Listen to Revelation chapter 19, verse 9. And the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who were invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. Now, last night, after Jesse and Natasha's wedding ceremony, there was a meal. And oh, the food was good. The food was really good. And it was a great time to sit around the tables and to be able to enjoy that meal together. Man, it was great. But you know what? In heaven, it's going to be even better. We're going to have a marriage supper of the Lamb. Not of Jesse and Natasha. Not of you and your spouse. But of the Lamb. We are going to be there to enjoy this supper because of what Jesus has done for us. Communion connects us to our future. Listen to Revelation 21, verses 3 through 5. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them and as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. We are going to eat this meal in heaven with God and with Jesus and the Holy Spirit and with those who have believed in Jesus as Savior and have gone there before us. Wow. Can you imagine what kind of a meal that's going to be? Well, I got to believe. I mean, the food was good last night, but I think this food's going to be even greater. I can't wait. Okay. Communion points to a greater and better banquet. When all believers in Jesus for the promise of eternal life will gather with Jesus to celebrate what he has done for us. And communion is the reminder of that. I can't wait to connect with other believers at this meal in heaven. I hope you can't wait either. So to prepare us for communion. Communion is a time. The celebration of communion is a time to remember all that Jesus has done for us. May that be our focus as we participate together in this celebration of communion. For every single one of us here this morning, may this connect us. Let me just remind you, as the men are coming to join me at the table, let me just remind you that in order to participate in this celebration of communion here at Lake Hazel Bible Church, you don't have to be a regular attender. You just have to believe in Jesus as Savior. I hope that you'll participate with us together this morning.
Amen.
let us remember Jesus.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, that is greater than all our sin. Sin and despair like the sea waves grow, threaten the soul with infinite loss. Grace that is greater, yes, grace untold, points to
join me as we sing this last song. Would you stand? For it is well with my soul.
When peace like a river attendeth my sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. Stay. is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. The day when the faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. So it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul.